Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, it is Thursday, November 1st. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to help end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org to make your donation or join Normal today. Folks, we have a very good show for you here today. We're going to speak with Nick Gillespie. He is the editor-in-chief at Reason Magazine. There's a new video online at Reason.tv. It's on the homepage at normal.org. We have links to it at normalaudiostash.com. And it features Drew Carey talking about medical marijuana in California. So we'll speak with Nick about that video today. Also today, Rick Cusick, the associate publisher at High Times Magazine, talks about his court appearance in Boston last week. Rick and Normal's founder Keith Strupp were arrested on September 15th at the Boston Freedom Rally. We interviewed them just after that arrest that day here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Rick and Keith were in court last week. Rick will talk about that court appearance here today. So a lot to get to here in your Audio Stash today. And tomorrow, we'll speak with a couple of more folks at High Times Magazine. Danny Danko, the cultivation editor, and Bobby Black, the editor at High Times. We'll speak to them both about the Cannabis Cup and get some cultivation tips for medical marijuana patients from cultivation expert Danny Danko. That's tomorrow in Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Let's get to our breaking news here today about that Reason.tv video. There's a new video out on the internet today, and it's already generating quite a stir, produced by the Reason Foundation and found online at their website at Reason.tv. This video is an innovative and nearly unprecedented look at medical marijuana access in California, highlighting the federal government raids of dispensaries. While there have been numerous reports from many different news magazines and broadcast outlets on the issue, Reason has brought together the elements of filming access inside dispensaries, guests to interviews such as Steph Scheer of Americans for Safe Access, and celebrity. Drew Carey, a man with literally vast household name recognition for his work on The Drew Carey Show, Whose Line Is It Anyway?, and The Power of Ten, and who was named as the new host of The Price is Right, is the host of this Reason TV video.
Hi, everybody. I'm Drew Carey. I'm here in Brentwood, California, outside of a perfectly legal pharmacy. Brentwood sounds familiar to you. It's right outside of Los Angeles. It's where OJ used to live. So here I am in front of the pharmacy in West Hollywood. It's on Santa Monica Boulevard, right by Santa Monica and Fairfax. Really busy street, busy intersection. This is one of over 100 places in Los Angeles where if you have a note from your doctor, you can get rare flowers, fine herbs, or organic medicine. In other words, medical marijuana. Smell that smell? It's the smell of freedom.
And the video is available to watch in full at reason.tv. We have links to it on our website today, and there's a link on the main Normal website at norml.org. Joining us to discuss the video is Nick Gillespie. He's the editor-in-chief at Reason Magazine. Nick, welcome here to the program today.
It's a real privilege and an honor to be here. Thanks.
Thanks again for joining us today, Nick. Now, this video was shown at the Normal Conference in a preview by David Knott, and it certainly generated a lot of interest and support. Now, tell us how this video came together through Reason, and how Drew Carey was paired up with the topic of medical marijuana in California.
Well, our involvement with Drew goes back a number of years, back to the mid-90s, actually, where he became a subscriber, and we used to have events in Los Angeles at our headquarters there called Evenings with the Editors, and we would send out flyers to subscribers in the greater L.A. area and say you want to come and have some bad wine and some worse cheese with the people who put together Reason. And Drew actually came to one of those, and that started a relationship where we interviewed him for the magazine. He was at kind of the peak or at the beginning of the peak of the Drew Carey Show. And he recently talked about, and then he also participated in a smoke-in where some Reason people, including Drew and Penn Jillette of Penn & Teller, broke what was then the new L.A. and California smoking ordinance at Barney's Beanery, a well-known Hollywood establishment. But Drew recently said that Reason was one of the things that helped him understand that he's a libertarian. He told Time magazine at the end of the summer that he never thought he was a libertarian until he picked up Reason magazine, and he said, "I realize I agree with everything they had printed." And that led eventually to an ongoing relationship with him where he was interested in doing some video journalism, and the issue of medical marijuana was at the very top of his list of topics to tackle.
Now, that's interesting. Is that in part because Drew is living out there with the issue in California right now?
Yeah, I think so. And it's also, you know, this one of the issues, and this is something where obviously people at Normal and most of the people at Reason, want a very radical rethinking of certainly of marijuana laws and of most drug laws in particular. But, you know, especially in a state like California, which in the mid-90s passed by close to two-thirds of voters, passed a ballot initiative making medical marijuana legally available to patients who needed it for a wide variety of conditions, and that is being stymied. You know, the will of the people in California is being stymied by the federal government, and also at various points by other people in the California state government. And I think, you know, Drew is somebody who is very compassionate and cares not just about drug policy, but also about the kind of well-being of people. And this is, you know, there's no question that the lockdown on medical marijuana in California and in other states that have legalized it is one of the most, disgusting and perverted distortions of federal power currently being witnessed by Americans. And it's an outrage, and it's something that Drew feels very strongly about, as I think comes through in the video, which is not, you know, a screed or a rant or anything like that. I mean, what we're talking about is that there are people, you know, patients who are legally prescribed or where marijuana is made available to them, and they're not able to get it because the federal government, both under Bill Clinton and under George Bush, says, no, we're not going to go with the will of the people.
And as we've seen, this federal interference of state law really is a top-down decision. Nick, I really love the approach of this video. There are many people around the country who've never seen a medical marijuana dispensary in California. They may find it hard to imagine, really. So for those who've never seen a dispensary, they get a wonderful introduction to the concept. Drew brings, of course, his own personality, but the access to the clinics themselves and filming, that was really something rarely seen.
You know, I think the power of the piece, and this is not a piece of video journalism that is pushing legalization or anything like that. What it's saying is that marijuana needs to be rescheduled from Schedule 1, the federal government says that it has no medicinal value. It's like heroin, and that it should be moved into a different category. It starts with a great comparison. I mean, this is a completely compelling argument. He starts in Brentwood, and he's standing outside of a pharmacy, a legal pharmacy, and he's across the street from a Starbucks, and he points out that medical marijuana dispensaries are of no difference. They're not of different kind of establishment. They give people who are, you know, under a legal regime, which is understandable and which has been voted in, access to drugs in a controlled, regulated situation. And they're not being allowed to actually do their business because of the federal government.
Now, the video does focus on the libertarian hotspot in the issue, the federal versus state clash here, and Drew mentions in the piece that you tried to interview with the DEA, but they wouldn't sit down with you. But a local sheriff spokesperson did appear in the video. He called for federal decriminalization.
If medical marijuana was decriminalized nationally, if the DEA stood down, their plate would be full with other drugs. I mean, just the abuse of prescription drugs.
Then why don't they?
Well, it's a good question. It's an excellent question. I can't answer that. I'm not a member of the federal government. However, if I was sitting across from our current president, I would certainly encourage him to do so.
Nick, this is pretty compelling stuff, especially from a sheriff spokesperson.
I hope so. And, our goal for this is to start a conversation or to reframe the one that is going on now. And for too long and at too many levels of government, I think people look at marijuana as a gateway drug and say that, you know, first you start with pot and then, within two hours or 2 weeks or 2 years, you're smoking methamphetamine or shooting heroin or something like that. That's definitely wrong, but one of the things that this, that progression is just, clearly fallacious. But, what this focuses on is that the people who use medical marijuana are people with conditions who benefit from it, and in fact, they use it in order to be productive, creative citizens, not to be some kind of, drugged out slacker or anything like that. The people who are interviewed in this documentary are stand-up people. They are, they're tax-paying, productive citizens, and it's partly because of medical marijuana that they're able to contribute.
And among these stand-up citizens is Drew Carey himself. He's never been quiet about his political viewpoints and has really demonstrated a unique ability to work at such visible levels in entertainment and really express himself on a variety of issues.
I think it's an incredibly courageous act by him to put his reputation and his name on the line for a cause which is absolutely righteous but is also very controversial. And it's rare when you see a celebrity, and this is a guy who just started hosting The Price is Right. He's been hosting a network game show, The Power of Ten, to actually put his reputation and his backing behind such a cause. I think it's really inspiring.
It's inspiring indeed. Now, Nick, the Reason Foundation and Reason Magazine address a lot of important issues, and both have come to define this level of awareness that is very much sought out online and in print for information. Let me ask if you think that marijuana has now become a higher priority social justice issue overall.
I think it's becoming one, and this is ironically for drug warriors, for people who want prohibition of all kinds of mind-altering substances. I don't think that they understood when they started going against the movement towards medical marijuana starting in the 90s, and still, it moves forward in a kind of jerk and stutter process, but the medical marijuana issue may be the place where the drug war goes to die, because this is a very clear-cut issue. We're not talking about legalization here. What we're talking about are places where either the state legislatures or ballot initiatives, the will of the people, have said marijuana as a medicine should be allowed and should be given to people, should be available to people under a certain set of circumstances. And, that drug warriors will not allow that to happen, which is what is happening. Dispensaries are being raided and shut down in California. In other places, state, police forces at all levels, including the DEA and whatnot, use all kinds of shenanigans to make it more difficult for legal medical marijuana. What it reveals in a drug warrior mentality is a kind of take no prisoners and allow no medicine approach, which turns off a lot of people because it's very ugly and it's very anti-humane.
Now, Nick, Reason isn't just about politics and policy. It's about economics as well. In California, we have a very interesting situation where the Board of Equalization is looking to have a sales tax on medical marijuana and medical marijuana products from the very dispensaries that are being federally raided right now. This could begin generating millions and millions of dollars in tax revenue. Do you think California might begin doing more to prevent these federal raids just to protect that revenue stream in the future?
It's a very good issue. By various measures, marijuana is the number one cash crop in a number of places, certainly throughout the world and in some parts of the U.S. And this is one of the questions, you know, that becomes an odd kind of both moral calculus but also a political calculus. If governments start to realize that they can tax and regulate marijuana in the same way that they do, say, cigarettes or liquor or something like that, will they start to come around and suddenly realize that the harms associated with marijuana have been exaggerated all the time? It's an interesting question, and I'm sure, you know, one of the things that we talk a lot about at Reason in a variety of contexts is that it seems unmistakable to me that in 50 years, and hopefully in a shorter time frame, we will be looking back on our current era where we spend billions of dollars a year policing people, locking them up, taking productive citizens and locking them away in gulags, drug war gulags. We will look back on this era and be ashamed of ourselves, or our descendants will be. And hopefully what we are seeing with medical marijuana, which unmasks a very disturbing profile and attitude and mindset among drug warriors, and an understanding among government both that marijuana is not a bad thing in general, and that it could be a source of revenue, maybe we're starting to see, a chink in the Berlin Wall of the drug war.
We're with Nick Gillespie, the editor-in-chief at Reason Magazine. We've been discussing a new video out today from Reason. You can find it online at www.reason.tv. It features Drew Carey in a special report on the federal versus state clash around medical marijuana in California. There are links to the video on our website today and at normal.org right on the homepage. Nick, thanks so much for joining us here today.
It's really my pleasure.
Nick, thank you again. Nick Gillespie is the editor-in-chief at Reason Magazine. Here's another short clip of the new video available online.
So I think it's clear by now that the federal government needs to reclassify marijuana. People that need it should be able to get it safely and easily. And if that bothers you, if that really makes you nervous that people are out there using marijuana to ease their pain, here's what you do. Drive down any old gas station in America like this one, go inside, buy yourself a nice cold brew, pop the top. They really take the edge off. For the Reason Foundation, I'm Drew Carey.
That's the new video available with Drew Carey from Reason Magazine discussing medical marijuana. There are links to it right on Normal's homepage at norml.org, on our website, normalaudiostash.com, and you can view it directly at reason.tv. Have you ever wondered what Amsterdam is all about? Don't just read about the culture that has accepted cannabis. Experience it firsthand with CS Travel's Sensible Amsterdam Tour with Normal. Travel to one of Europe's most beautiful cities this January for an educational and recreational visit to a city that regulates cannabis like alcohol. CS Travel has arranged an exclusive visit for reform-minded Americans that includes a private tour of some of Amsterdam's most renowned coffee shops, educational seminars with coffee shop proprietors, local law enforcement, members of the Cannabis Retailers Association, and Normal staff. Entertainment includes a special evening at the Boom Chicago Comedy Club, canal tours, visits to the city's many museums, including the world-famous Van Gogh Museum. Don't just wonder about Amsterdam, experience the beauty and freedom of this unique city firsthand with CS Travel and Normal's Sensible Amsterdam Tour. Pricing information is available online at coffeeshoptravel.com. That's coffeeshoptravel.com. Or call toll-free at 800-816-1846. That's 800-816-1846. Be a sensible American. Visit Amsterdam with CS Travel and Normal this January. Call 1-800-816-1846 right now to book your trip. More information is available at normal.org.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Oh, what a beautiful time again. Nightfall, whoa, nightfall. Nightfall.
Next up. up today here on the Audio Stash, we're going to speak with Rick Cusick of High Times Magazine. Rick is the associate publisher at High Times Magazine. He was up in court last week with Keith Strupp from Normal. We spoke with Keith via phone right after that appearance. They had their first court appearance stemming from their arrest at the Boston Freedom Rally for smoking marijuana. Rick, many thanks for joining us here on the program today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate being here.
Thanks again, Rick. Now, tell us about your experience in court.
Well, let's see. As your listeners probably know, Keith and I were arrested for smoking a joint on the Boston Common on the 15th of September at the Boston Freedom Rally, dripping with irony. The founder of Normal and the associate publisher of High Times for about a third of a joint. And we went in on last Wednesday for what was a preliminary hearing just to see if they wanted to move through with the complaint. And we were wondering whether or not they were going to dismiss it or move through with the complaint, and sure enough, they moved through. The arresting officer was there, a guy about half my age, and he said that he had spied Keith and I smoking a marijuana joint, and when asked how he knew it was marijuana, he said he'd made thousands of busts like this and knew it when he saw it. And then they moved forward. They asked us if we had anything to say. We did not. And so they moved through and told us to come back on the 7th of December, a day that will live in infamy, which will be the day that Keith and I are arraigned in Boston for a third of a joint. And if all things proceed from there, we shall try to fight it.
Now, Rick, we spoke with Steve Epstein, Keith's attorney in the case, who said that the judge said, well, basically, if they would have apologized, it would go away, which certainly strikes an ironic chord.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of the old school chummy thing. I mean, that was never offered to us, not that we would have apologized. Apparently, there were some 60 kids and people that were arrested that day on Boston Commons. We were among the first. And because we had to put off our preliminary hearing, most of them had already passed through the system, and I guess a lot of them came in and were scared and apologized and such, and I don't blame them. It's a scary process. But, you know, me and Keith, we've been around the block two or three or four times. They're not getting an apology out of us.
Rick, this was your first arrest ever for marijuana, and you're the associate publisher at High Times. You're at a lot of events where there's marijuana smoking going on. Were you surprised by this arrest, or did you expect this to maybe happen one day?
Well, you know, I mean, upon reflection, I've been smoking for about 37 years now. And, you know, when you first make that choice, when you're first starting to smoke marijuana, the big choice is, shall I break the law? And I don't know about anybody else, but I ruminated on that question for quite a little while at a time. And then finally I did. And, you know, it became less of an issue the more I smoked, because it became more of mainstream of my life. But always, in the back of every smoker's mind, is getting arrested. 800,000 people got arrested in the United States last year. And always you're waiting for it. And there's been times in my life when I waited for it big time and thought I was vulnerable, and that never happened, knock wood. And there are times when I was dumb and I should have got busted, and you know, the god of ganja was looking over me. But now comes the day when I'm actually, 37 years hence, I get arrested. And you have to understand from my perspective, I mean, yeah, I'm the associate publisher of High Times, but I came into this game late. I've known about Keith's drop for 35 of those 37 years. And for me to get arrested at the Boston Freedom Rally just before it started, with a man of a stature of Keith Strupp. We went into that tent, and I have to say, you know, I wouldn't recommend it for anybody, but sure was fun for me. I mean, we knew what we were talking about, and these cops did not, and we ate them for breakfast. And then having had that, they told us not to, they threw us out of the park and said, okay, you can't come back. And then we walked around the other side of the park, snuck back in, got up on stage and made speeches about being arrested. You know, for me, you know, getting busted is probably a horror show for most people, but for me it was like an e-ticket at Disneyland. I would have paid for the trip.
Right on. And Mascan did a lobbying day around the court appearance last week. It really showed that, even those who are very visibly involved with reform face the same dangers as all regular cannabis consumers out there.
My central problem in my life has been the dichotomy of being out on this subject. The problem, you know, when you have a civil dissent, like you have with, let's say, civil rights or gay rights or something of that ilk, you get up and you stand up for your rights. You stand up for your rights as a marijuana smoker and identify yourself as a marijuana smoker, you've just admitted you've committed a crime. So it's unlike a lot of other civil issues in which, you're demanding your rights. Well, we're demanding the rights of something that they, when we stand up and do it, they can throw us in jail for it. 60 people got arrested that day. That guy did not arrest us because we were the founder of Normal and the associate publisher of High Times. My guess is he arrested us because he looked over and saw two old guys smoking pot in public, and he didn't like it. And when he brought us in for that third of a joint, the arresting officer was asked to give the contraband to the officer who is working the paperwork, the lieutenant. And they handed him a big plastic bag with a little third of a joint in it. And the lieutenant looked at him, and the lieutenant looked at me, and the lieutenant looked back at him, and he said, "You've got to be shitting me." And I said, "That's my sentiments exactly." And the arresting officer said, "The amount doesn't have anything to do with it." And everybody put a wry smile on their face and proceeded with their own role. The police knew it was nothing. The police knew that the arresting officer had a bug up his butt. And now we shall see what we can do with that.
And vice versa, Rick, if you had a huge sign on your back saying, "Publisher of High Times Magazine," might the cop have thought twice about arresting you for a third of a joint?
If I had a huge sign on my back, I probably would have pissed him off more. I mean, you know, I'm quoting, when this guy grabbed me, again, a kid half my age, he grabbed me by the arm, he started leading me away in this rather roughshod manner. I said, "That's not necessary." And all he kept saying over is, "I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck, I don't give a fuck." And I think that basically says a lot. I think he understood that his actions were on the defensive, and he had to say defensive statements to me because what he was doing was essentially over the top. He didn't give a fuck. You know, even though he was arresting me for a third of a joint, he didn't give a fuck that he was half my age and he was pulling me along like I was some, you know, teenage criminal. He was showing his authority. And now we shall see whether that authority wins in court or not. Now, I'm going to try very hard to just stay on track and say, look, you know, this shouldn't have happened in the first place, and I don't want to pay any money, and I don't want to be convicted of anything. I want it dropped, or I want a jury of my peers.
And finally, did this experience give you a new look on this issue of marijuana in America? I mean, being arrested, being taken into the tent that day in Boston, and now having to go to court.
I mean, I've been privy to a lot of the horror stories that come with the American drug war in the past 10 years. I've worked for High Times 10 years. I was an editor for quite a while. I'm the associate publisher at the moment. I hear a lot of these stories. I've met a lot of people who have been arrested. I understood how tragic. I mean, this is war. This is not our term. This is their term. They declared a drug war. And in all wars, people are damaged, lives are damaged, families are ruined, there is collateral damage. Just like in any other war, that's what's happening in the drug war. What's happened to me was infinitesimal compared to what really happens out there. 800,000 Americans were arrested last year, 700,000 for simple possession, and I'm guessing around 400,000 were under 25 years old. Those are horrific figures. And like I said, my little pissant bust in Boston at the Freedom Rally is symbolic at best, but the people that really need help from organizations like Normal and the Normal Legal Committee, who does great work for these victims, they're real victims. And they're of a real war. And, you know, we've always known that.
Righto. Well, Rick, I really appreciate you taking time to speak with us here today on the Audio Stash, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
I appreciate it anytime at all, and you guys do great work. I keep up with it all the time. Please keep it up.
Many thanks again, Rick. Rick Husick is the associate publisher at High Times Magazine. We have links to High Times right up on our website every day at normalaudiostash.com. You've been listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. They've been forced to lie on applications, forego the health benefits of responsible marijuana use, or purchase life insurance products that did not require an application or a physical. If they were honest about their use of marijuana, they were either flat out declined or rated so high that they could not afford the coverage they needed. No longer. Recently, one of Normal's members contacted them with a problem. He was expanding his business, and his bank was requiring additional life insurance. His local insurance agent had told him he simply had to quit smoking marijuana to get the coverage the bank was requiring. He didn't want to quit, and he wanted Normal's help. They contacted me, their insurance agent, and someone who was familiar with the insurance problems marijuana smokers face, and we both wanted to find a solution. I contacted my associate, Marvin Address, a nationwide expert in the area of life insurance, and we took on the challenge. Marvin was finally able to convince a carrier to underwrite the Normal member without the usual negative implications of marijuana use. The member not only received the coverage he needed, he was able to save additional money on the premiums he was paying for the coverage he already had in place. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. As a result of this occurrence, Normal, Marvin, and myself decided that the time was ripe to make traditional insurance products available to responsible smokers without the usual negative implication. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. I am hopeful that this program can be ultimately expanded to make available disability and health insurance products as well. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566. Challenging as it may be, Normal is a public interest organization working hard to both reform cannabis laws as well as providing valuable services to their membership and cannabis consumers all around the world.